Hey guys, this is Bridget.
And this is Will.
And this is Mary.
Welcome to...
No Stupid!
Hola.
Hi, Goose.
Hi, Goose.
Hi, Goose. He's on my bed. He's making little meowy noises at me.
Goose, do you want to be on the podcast? We would love to have you.
No, he's going to lay in his little spot under
my desk. We're trying to get some diversity in, and I'd love to hear from some cats.
I'd love to hear from your perspective. tell me about your life. What kind of hardships have you been through?
Yeah, why did you run away from your mommy that one time?
He's like, I didn't mean to do it on purpose. It's just like that door closed behind me, and I have no way to open a turn door handle, so...
Well, we're all just glad you're back, Goose, really. That's all that matters.
Yes. Yes. Please don't make your mommy cry anymore when she's talking to strangers and embarrassing herself in front of everybody. It's fine. You know, it's fine. Hey, buddy. Hi. What are you going to do? Well, he says, I want to sit on your lap.
Oh, you want to sit on my lap?
Yes. He totally said that to you.
How are we? What you been up to?
Just working, you know, at home still. You know, there's no way I'm going back to the office
ever.
they had like a transition plan, and then about half of the office went back into the building, and then half of us still work from home. And then last week HR sent out an email that went along the lines of, you know,
don't do it.
You think about the coming to the office, don't do it. it was essentially get your shit and get out by the end of Thanksgiving week before you leave for Thanksgiving. Get your shit out and go home unless you absolutely like have to be in the office. So it's kind of like they're transitioning everybody who went in back away. So I think it's going to be like that for, you know, at least through the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's getting sketch right now at the district. Yeah. We're thinking maybe after Thanksgiving, we're hoping, because just how much cases is rising around everywhere. So we'll see.
Yeah. Got it, actually. Oh. And he was like, well, I tried to get on a little bit, do some work yesterday, but, you know, I was only on for an hour, and then I wasn't feeling too great. And so I stopped. And so I was like, oh, okay, like, just let me know if you need anything. I can handle it. You know, if you don't end up going in. And it didn't occur to me that it was like anything other than like, I'm just not feeling too well. And then we had our department meeting, and he was like, yes, I have tested positive for COVID. And I was like, oh, is that why you weren't feeling good? Like, I was like, oh, wow. But he like was working from home like the whole week. He's like, sometimes I just work a little bit and then I take a nap, and then I work a little bit and then I take a nap. I'm like,
oh,
okay.
That's what I do.
That's what I do, but I don't have COVID.
And I'm not even sick. Yeah,
just it's just do. Like my daily work habit. Work a little bit, take a nap, work a little bit, take a nap. It's really my regimen to prevent me from getting sick. So I think I should just continue with that.
If anything, I'm boosting my immune system and protecting others. So I'm doing this community service, you know.
It's really for the best.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny. I was like, oh, it didn't even occur to me that it might have been something more serious than like, oh, I just have the sniffles or something.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. But I just thought it was funny. Everybody's like, oh, you made it sound like not a big deal. Whoa, getting a little crazy there.
Yeah,
with the typing.
Wow.
Sorry, I just had to grade something real quick.
Oh, really?
It sounded like fake typing, like when you're like, yes, I can totally type, like, here I go. I'm going to write my report. Mm-hmm.
No, a student submitted something and I forgot to grade it, so I just did. So.
Were you just like, this sucks?
Zero.
Zero. Do better.
He's actually a kid from a person that we knew from high school, which is kind of cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just found out when we had parent-teacher conferences, so.
Who is it, though, Will?
Oh, I remember her.
Yeah.
Who?
She was in our grade.
She was in our grade.
Yeah. But yeah, where it's like, small world. But yeah, I even joked to them. I had like a weird crisis moment where I was talking about Aretha Franklin, and I think Respect came out in like the 50s, I think. That song. Mm-hmm. And that's our parents, like, general, like, most of our parents are born in like the 60s or like 850s. But I was like, yeah, it's your parents. And I was like, no, your grandparents were alive back then.
Yeah, like I make jokes that, like, I don't know, from songs or like references that I just kind of expect even people just a few years younger than me to get. Mm-hmm. And I one time, I don't know, I feel like I told you guys this, maybe I didn't, but like when I was working for the fair and one of my ambassadors, the first man to ever break my heart was Lance Bass. And she was like, why? What did he do to you? And I was like,
who is this, like, Lance bitch? I was like, so. I'll kill him.
Yeah, I said it. I was like, oh, so you don't know who Lance Bass is? And I was like, never mind. I don't know. We just won't go into that.
Do you know who Joey Fatone is by any chance?
She was really cute, though. She was like, what did he do to you? I was like, that's a long story. So, yeah, so we're old. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
Mm-hmm. It is fun.
That's cool. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. Everything hurts and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so old. I have now, you know, I started collecting Pokemon cards again. Like, I'm 11. And tonight for dinner, I ate a Lunchable. I'm not even kidding. It's a pizza Lunchable, pepperoni.
Some nostalgia for you.
I just
enjoy Lunchables. Like, I still like eating them. So sometimes I get them to eat.
Actually, the pizza ones are the only ones I ever really liked.
Really? I hate them.
Yeah. I mean, they're not good, but I don't know. I didn't like the meat that was in there, like the turkey. Because, you know, the pepperoni was so reputable. But the turkey...
It's got some spice and stuff in there. It's some flavor. Exactly.
Do you remember the flavor of the fake meat.
Do you remember one of the Lunchables they had? They had taco Lunchables, and it was like...
Oh,
this
no.
weird they had this like weird meat in a tube like in the same like so you know how like the in the with the pizza Lunchables the sauce comes in the plastic packet, it was like that except the meat came in a plastic tube. I had eaten that sometimes, and now thinking back, I'm like, this probably wasn't the best one to eat. I love my brown meat in a tube. It's so good.
Yeah.
Just like the real authentic tacos.
Tacables. That's what they should have called it. Tacables. You can talk about it.
Tacables. Yeah. You can talk about it. You can be like, what is this? I don't trust you. This isn't real mm-hmm. meat. But I'm going to eat it anyway. So.
Yeah.
Because exactly. I'm 9 and I don't care.
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's why they feed it to 9-year-olds. Plus, they have more time to bounce back to, like, fight off the cancers that they probably put in there. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't do that anymore.
No. If you eat it now, you're going to die.
Yeah. Pizza is the only one I trust.
Good. Good, good.
Yeah. So what are we doing tonight, guys?
We are reviewing Up, Up, and Away.
Woo!
Tell me more. Ow, Goose, God.
He was going to tell you more.
I will tell you
He's
more.
Sassing me. Sorry.
Okay, so Up, Up, and Away is one of the first movies. It is the first movie that came out in the millennium of the 2000s.
Woo!
Yeah, it came out in January, actually. So, January 22nd, yeah. So, basically, the synopsis is that the only normal family member of a superpowered family feels left out and confused until he has a chance to use the talent of his own to save everyone. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a coming-of-age story.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, true. Which I thought was really cool is it's the first, like, full black casted family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily black, which was really cool at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no one's dead. No siblings dead or a family member.
Or parents.
They're all
alive.
And the
mom is... Janet Jackson.
I was going to say that. She looks like very Janet Jackson.
Yeah, especially with the mask.
Yeah. I was ready for a nip slip happening later on, but never did.
Justin Timberlake just walks into a scene and then rips off her clothes and then leaves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it first starts off, the opening's pretty like typical superhero thing where sketchy things happen in like a dark, dark room. And it's these people named Nina and Malcolm, who happens to be Kevin Connolly from Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember that show?
Yeah, I never watched it.
Yeah,
I never watched it either.
I was like, everybody looks like a douchebag. Pass. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so this guy is on it. And the whole synopsis in the beginning is that Scott's birthday is coming up. And the whole thing is that they're super excited that because Scott's supposed to have his superpowers coming up, because when they're 14, that's when they start developing their superpowers. So, and they're eating breakfast with the family, and Randy is the white best friend, which is kind of cool.
The token white kid.
Comes in with like zucchini bread wrapped in foil, and the family acts like very somber, very like frightened.
It looks like they react like he brought in a bomb with him.
Yeah. Or I said like, look like they just kicked the family pet or something as he walked in. And so like, they're like, yeah, just put it over there. And then Scott just tells them, like, families that are allergic to zucchini. And this kind of brings up like a trend I noticed that they eat nothing but green stuff throughout this whole movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of cuts to where Amy is like the girl or the love interest, where Scott and Randy ride their bike and they kind of go down, and it turns out they're on the soccer team together, and Amy and Scott kind of like flirts in a way where they're like, oh, who's going to be team captain? You are. No, you are. No, you are. Basically. And then, no, you. No, no, you.
No, you're a captain. Call me captain.
But, so Amy kind of just does her little, like, tough girl. I'm a tough girl. I'm not interested in you. And kicks the ball to show her skills and knocks Randy off his bike. And then mom's like, hey, sweetie, why don't you ask Scott to the dance if you like him so much? And then Amy goes, gross. No thanks.
Boys
are gross. Ew. So yeah. So that happens. They go to the soccer practice. Then it cuts to where I thought this was weird, but the family, so mom and dad, starts digging up like a 6 feet hole as if like they're trying to bury a body. And then it turns out that Janet Jackson's holding this zucchini bread wrapped in foil with like tongs, and they dump into the trash and bury it into the ground. And my thought process was, why don't they wait till like trash day or something and then just kind of dump it in there, because I can't imagine with like a whole backyard filled with like trash cans like
yeah
dug up and buried. So like whoever buys the house next time, if they decide to move, they start landscaping, I can imagine them finding like 20 like food. Yeah, 20 dumpsters or trash cans just buried in the ground.
Or it reminds me of like, was it like when they're like looking for bodies or something, they can like look at the ground and see like what's buried under there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, what is this suspicious things? There's bodies in the backyard. And then they go excavate it, and it's just trash cans full of things wrapped in aluminum foil, yeah. Like zucchini bread or leftovers or from like Chili's.
Right. I'm trying to think what other stuff are like wrapped in tin foil. Oh, like they can't eat Hershey Kisses.
Or like mini Reese's.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
How do they eat a baked potato? I don't think they do that.
Well, they wouldn't have to put it in like.
Or like chocolate bars. Foil. Like that yeah. Wrapped in aluminum. I think it's interesting too, which is aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's their kryptonite.
Yeah.
But isn't it aluminum in general or just straight up foil? Like, can they drink a Coke?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Good question.
I don't know. Just
I don't know.
They can't have, you know, a White Claw.
That's just, you know, something that they're just going to have to get over.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to drink less, you know, shitty drinks.
Anyway, so then they go to school. They were going to practice. Sorry, they're going to school, and then Malcolm, Kevin Conley from Entourage, comes up as Earth Protectors and kind of gives an environmental talk, saying like, "Hey, are you recycling that paper? Hey, are you recycling that plastic? Hey, 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 recycle, recycle, recycle," and kind of just gives a little spiel about like using this program called Earth Protectors, and it should be homework. And he kind of goes back into the van and he kind of just says, man, I hate kids.
Will at the end of a school day.
And then you see him eat a piece of gum and he throws it on the grass, or the wrapper on the grass. So he's faking it. Yeah, he's a litterer. So he's faking the whole environmental thing. And so they drive up to the bank and they do a withdrawal. And the bank guy says, like, you only have $1.37. I was like, same.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was like,
me too.
I was like, God, why is this bank teller so judgy?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Okay. Some people only have a dollar in their bank account. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you've never been there.
Yeah. Okay. The important thing is he didn't overdraft. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's still a balance.
He's in the positives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
But Quinn, or Malcolm, he, Malcolm Quinn, Malcolm plays that whole CD thing. And so he puts in the computer and the Earth Protectors thing says, like, welcome to Earth Protectors. Listen to what we say. Do as we do. And
do as I do.
Do as I do. And it turns out to be like a brainwashing program. And so he's like, give me some money. And so all of a sudden, everyone in the bank, like the tellers, just come up and just hand them 50s and 100s. And as they're doing that, one of the goonies, or the goons, sneezes, and turns out that it wakes them up from their hypnotization. And then that's where, like, oh, we got. And then later on, you find out that it only works for teenagers, that their first, like, beta test. Mm-hmm. It only works with teenagers, and it does work with adults, but not as effectively. So as this is happening, Daddy... Because
adults aren't impressionable.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, because kids are fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm. That's what they should have just come out and said.
Kids are fucking stupid, okay? This doesn't work on adults.
We got you to watch this movie, right? I mean, what else can we do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We tricked you.
So yeah, so it cuts back to Daddy. He's driving the kiddos to soccer practice and turns out he's an orthodontist. You can tell this is like aged because he gets a beeper. It's like, oh, yeah, something's going on. And like the kid's like, oh, we're two people kissing and they got their bases stuck together. Mm. He's like, get out of the car. He's like, you're walking.
His Batman voice. Yeah.
Get out of the car.
Get the fuck out. I have to go save some people.
Yeah. So he starts like stripping naked. He takes off all his clothes and it cuts to him wearing his super like hero costume. And he's called the Bronze Eagle. And his catchphrase is up, up, and away. For some reason, he has to say that every time he flies or has to fly. It's like his trigger word.
It's the magic word.
Yeah. So he goes up, up, and away. And he like zooms out into the sky. As he goes, he kind of sees that someone's kicking some butt and turns out to be Judy. Judy, his wife.
Judy Marshall.
But Judy's kicking some butt. And I wrote down in my notes, giving some Janet Jackson look.
She does. Yeah. She was telling him he was a nasty boy. Okay, for showing up late.
Right. Yeah, he's like, sorry, Miss Jackson. What was it? What was the song? It's like,
oh, yeah. No, my first name ain't Baby. Oh, it's Janet. Miss Jackson.
There you go. Miss Jackson would be nasty. But I thought this was kind of a little fun thing. They have like a little couple spat as they're fighting. Like, it's like totally no effort. They're just kind of like talking to like about life, like about laundry and like just couple spatting, and they're just beating these guys up.
It was cute. Yeah.
It was very like Incredibles, like when like Bob and Helen, like they crime fight and stuff, and they do like little like conversation, like it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, happily married, crime fighting couple. Look at that.
And then so they're fighting, and then it turns out mom has a speed bike. That's her power. Or no, she's super strong.
What's her power?
A speed bike? Just
material. I got a souped up bike over there. It's got some gnaws in there.
Like, so basically you're Batman, so you have no actual superpowers. Right? You just have a really cool mode of transportation.
Yeah. But yeah, so she like lifts up a van during the fight, but she has a speed bike, but it turns out no one or not everyone could fly. So she has this bike that goes super fast.
Also, I just would want to say, like, during the fight, when the criminals are trying to get away, they try to drive their van straight into the both of them while they're just standing there talking. It's like, how fucking stupid are you? You don't just drive straight into the superheroes. You, like, turn away. What did you think was going to happen? Idiots.
God. Yeah.
Stupid criminals.
And it's cute because, like, they're doing it ever so casually. Like you said, like, they're arguing. She's like, well, maybe if you'd have done the dishes. And then she lifts up the van. And it just so, everything's just so casual. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And so that happens. And then after they save the day, Dad flies back to the soccer game that Scott's in, and then this is where Scott's like, he's being a little selfish when he's playing the game because he wants to be the captain. So he's like, well, I'm going to be the better shooter. So he's trying to, well, the teammates are asking him to pass the ball. Amy's like, yo, pass the ball. And he's just like, uh-huh.
Get fucked.
Yeah. So he goes to the goal and he completely misses it.
By a lot.
Yeah, like, by a lot. Like, imagine. Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, imagine like the soccer goal.
Imagining.
And then someone kicking the ball 20 feet over it. Mm-hmm. That's how bad he missed.
It was pretty bad.
Imagine having a goal of size of a building and you still somehow miss it. That's mm-hmm. how bad he missed it.
Yep.
And so as he's messing up, the older brother, Adam, comes zooming in with super speed. So his powers are super speed. And then he kind of talks about, like, zapping people. So he has, like, electricity powers or something. I think it's electricity. Where he could, like, make people forget things, what happened, by zapping their heads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. But Adam and Dad starts talking about, like, hey, Scott's not showing any symptoms or signs about getting his powers, and it's like 2 days before he turns 14. So Dad's kind of like worried about Scott not getting powers. He's like, ooh, well, maybe he'll get it the day before, maybe he'll get the day of. So
also real quick,
When
he's doing at the game, like, I don't, like, I know it's for the movie's purposes, but God, everybody, just bystanders, they just have terrible peripheral vision. Like, they can't hear any of this loud talking going on. They don't see this person obviously right in front of them generating electricity.
Yeah.
And he just appeared out of nowhere. Just, oh my gosh. People need to work on your eyesight. You need to get it checked. Like, go to the doctor. You should be able to, you should not be driving. Okay, none of you should be driving if you can't see this shit right in front of you.
Oh, we get it. You're an insurance agent, Mary. Oh my God.
No, it's not even about that.
Liabilities.
You can't see someone blatantly right in front of you, less like 6 inches away from you. That's like, look at my cool powers. I'm very loudly talking about our secret identities. And it's like, oh yes, the soccer game. Very good. Mm-hmm. Your son is so bad at soccer. Anyways.
Sports.
Go sports. And that's, you know, that's what bothers me about this movie.
That's her soap opera.
That's my
soap
opera.
Yeah, that's her soap opera.
People have bad peripheral vision.
So yeah. So then it goes to the house. They go home and turns out that the younger sister gets in trouble because it turns out she has laser vision and apparently she got it when she was 2 years old. I feel like she's Mary, basically. Like, if Mary was like, had laser vision, she would do the exact same thing, just start zapping things around her.
Yeah, she would.
Watch this.
Fuck this. Fuck this plan.
So yeah, sister has laser vision and she starts zapping things. Janet Jackson's just like, hey, husband, your daughter here is like burning everything around. You should really get mad at her. He's like, oh yeah, I'm so angry. And he kind of goes up to her, like, hey, want to start up the barbecue? And then so she goes in the back and you see her just zapping everything around her in the background, which I thought
she's
was
like,
kind of funny.
She's like, oh, is this the barbecue? Yeah. Is this the barbecue?
And then
imagine having like a 2 year old.
If you try hard enough.
Imagine having like a 2 year old with laser vision that like they don't understand what's going on. And like imagine, I bet she burned a lot of shit, like even more shit when she was like two.
It's funny. Again. This is just real quick. It is like in Incredibles. It reminded me because Jack has laser vision.
Yeah.
And there's that whole part in the Incredibles where
with the babysitter
burn all the shit down. Yeah. It's. I bet it was exactly like that.
So yes, yeah, so after that happens, Dad goes up to Scott Trim and kind of talks about like, "Hey, we got names for you. So they're like, how about the Destroyer? Because you're gonna be super strong." And then he was like, "Well, you know." We came up names like, you know, there's Jello Girl, and I just started laughing because how horrible of a power is that? What's your power? I could turn to Jello.
Do you think she turns to Jello, or she can turn things into Jello? Like,
I'm not sure which would be worse.
And then it would be like Well, that would suck. Like, if you were robbing a bank or something and you were a criminal and she uses her powers and you just turn to Jell-O and that's how you die. And then you're just like a human sculpture of Jell-O and people could eat you, I guess, if they wanted to.
Hmm. Or they turn you into that, what is it? Back in the 60s, it was like that Jell-O dinner crap.
Ew,
Jell-O mold. Yeah, Jell-O molds with like mayonnaise and like olives.
Jell-O salad or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like these people in the 50s and 60s didn't know what food was. And so they just put literally everything.
I didn't know they put mayonnaise on it.
They put like
disgusting
cottage cheese.
That wouldn't be so bad.
Cool Whip.
Ham,
spam,
hollandaise sauce.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Look it up.
I know the Cool Whip.
Okay, I'm looking one up right now.
It's just like that was their version of a casserole or something. There's like, I don't know, just put it in Jell-O. Put this Big Mac in a Jell-O. Just do it.
Yeah, 7-Up and mayonnaise Jell-O salad.
Oh, well, I mean, you put mayonnaise in cakes, though, too. So
I don't trust Bridget anymore.
You put mayonnaise in cakes to make it moist. I mean, I hate that word.
With Jell-O, just Jell-O and 7-Up.
Okay, I want you to do this then. Type in perfection Jell-O salad. And tell me if you would eat that.
Tell me right now.
Ew, no. I don't even know what's in it. It just looks like regurgitated chicken noodle soup. Hang on, let me look at it.
There's one with shrimp inside with like...
Oh, I saw that one.
Jell-O?
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Put it in gelatin.
Yeah.
Put the dinner in gelatin.
There's a SpaghettiO Jell-O.
Oh, the English kitchen. That makes a lot of sense.
There's a hot dog Jell-O stand. It's completely encased by hot dogs with Jell-O inside. It has like green olives and celery and red peppers.
And Jell-O.
Just look up 1950s Jell-O mold dinner and then type in the word gross after it. And then go to images and you'll see everything they ate in the 50s. This is everything that anybody ever ate in the 50s. It's the only thing that ever existed.
I actually did get like a 50s cookbook one time and the majority of the protein. No, I don't remember. But the majority of the protein, so to speak, was spam.
So, I love spam.
You know, my dad loves spam.
It's so good when it's fried, pan fried.
I just don't know. I mean, I know they're like in Hawaii, there are like restaurants that are like spam restaurants, but I don't know.
It's so good. I for breakfast, I would eat that with fried spam, white rice, and egg. It's so good. Mm-hmm. But it has to be fried. Mm-hmm. Raw spam is disgusting.
Ew. It's kind of like bologna.
Sorry, I'm not gagging at you.
No, I remember.
I found a picture of BuzzFeed has this article that's like, what is it called? 21 truly upsetting vintage recipes.
Truly upsetting.
And I'm just scrolling through them, and it looks so disgusting. Like, there's one that looks just like Jell-O beef fat, like, but I don't know. They look like. It looks like a beef fat cup.
Ew.
And then there's one called lime cheese salad. And let's see. Dissolve one pack of Jell-O lime flavored into hot water. You just make the fucking Jell-O essentially. And then fold one cup of cottage cheese, one tablespoon of mayonnaise, blend that together, put it in the Jell-O, garnish with salad greens, and then fill the center with seafood salad. Make 6 servings. So,
I'm looking at one with tuna and mayonnaise. Oh, God.
Type in 24-hour vegetable salad Jell-O.
I found an article that said, this is why you hate Jell-O salad, according to experts.
Wait, what was yours, Will? 24-hour?
Vegetable salad Jell-O. It's like egg, peas, lettuce,
ew, spaghetti.
This has spaghetti. Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that.
And then if you look over to the right side, there's like a lime green Jell-O salad, and it's like cottage cheese and pineapple. Grandma's.
What were people in the 50s doing? What the hell?
This is kind of like that episode of Friends, which I know you guys neither one watched, so I'm going to give you the rundown real quick. So Rachel is like trying to make like a traditionist like English trifle, but the pages stick together. So she ends up making like half like a trifle and then half shepherd's pie. So she's got like custard and jam in there with like beef and sauteed onions and carrots.
That's what happened to everybody in the 50s. All their cookbook pages were stuck together. And they were like, yeah, this looks right.
That sounds great. Yeah.
If I were in
Manny's and Jell-O.
If I were in hell, this would be the food that they served. Just the 50 food from the 50s.
So you know how like
there's an option to add all of these ingredients to my shopping list. No thanks.
So you know there's that joke was like when you're super high, you just make whatever. How high were they in the 50s?
All right. Right. I need to ask you guys something. Mom, Dad.
Were you guys stoned?
What
wasn't that?
What were you eating when you were children? Okay. Was grandma high all the time?
What was it? The reefer scare? What was it called?
Reefer madness.
Reefer madness. That's what it was. Probably.
They were all high on the reefer and then they just made Jell-O salad. Be careful, kids. The reefer, it'll do this to you, okay? You'll put things in Jell-O molds, and then you'll think it's food.
This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Look at it!
So gross. So, yes, listeners, please search up Jell-O salad from the 50s.
And we'll post some pictures for you.
It's fucking so gross.
So you don't have to have this in your search history. We'll do
There's some
you.
Winners, I tell you that.
Cabbage.
It's like if aliens came to Earth and they were trying to make a dinner for somebody to be polite, is what they would make.
We saw this in one of your cookbooks.
This is a delicacy. It's a true representation of what people from Earth like to eat.
And it's the one with like shrimp in it.
Shrimp and hot dogs,
mm-hmm.
and Jell-O, and
hot dogs,
and whipped cream, and mayonnaise everywhere.
What do you think would be the worst, like, flavor combination with those? Like, what flavor Jell-O do you think would be the worst?
Gosh. I at least can understand sort of the citrus Jell-O with, like, the seafood,
mm-hmm.
sort of, because mm-hmm. citrus and seafood match, so I guess I kind of see where that came from. Maybe like the lime Jell-O in hot dogs.
Ooh.
Or
how about like Oreo Jell-O mixed with like
ew
shrimp or hot dogs? Let me look at the flavor list. There's watermelon. There's strawberry banana, raspberry, tropical fusion. Peach, island pineapple, lime lemon, grape, cranberry, black cherry, and apricot.
I think maybe grape would go bad with a lot of stuff because mm-hmm. artificial grape flavoring is not the greatest.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's one of the default, like, worst you can have with anything, especially mm-hmm. if you put, like, shrimp in it or hot dogs.
Grape shrimp.
Oh. There is a mixed vegetable Jell-O that used to be. It was mixed vegetable and seasoned tomato Jell-O back in the 50s, 60s.
That sounds awful. That still sounds gross.
There was a imitation apple Jell-O. There is a cola Jell-O. They called it a Coke salad.
I bet they did.
Coffee Jell-O.
See, what I'm seeing, what I'm imagining in that, like, did you guys see the movie Snowpiercer?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. God, yeah.
With like, their protein mm-hmm. bars? Or that's
I would
I'm
rather eat
like,
the protein
Jell-O.
Bars from Snowpiercer than eat any of this.
Yeah, true.
Will, are you on tasteofhome.com? Mm-hmm. I'm also on tasteofhome.com. I was like, these look like what I'm looking at, because I was going to say I found an article that says why people in the 50s loved Jell-O so much. And it says most Americans were embracing innovative convenience foods, and Jell-O was heavily marketed to homemakers to be a versatile ingredient. You could use Jell-O to make food more flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
Your leftovers could be used
sure.
up. It was low in calories. Plus, food suspended or coated in Jell-O stayed fresh longer.
Sure.
Well, I can understand that coming off the Depression still. Like, I mean, the Depression and the war.
The Depression was 30 years ago, but we're going to put everything in here. Jell-O's the solution.
there was the depression, and then they had like what was it, they were rationing certain foods during the war, so I can understand why they would be like, okay, in case this ever happened again, we need something to preserve our food. Like, and that's where preservatives came from.
Heads up, 2020, Jell-O's the thing.
Jell-O.
Put everything in Jell-O. Mm-hmm.
Toilet paper and Jell-O to preserve the toilet paper.
Jell-O. Oh my god, Jell-O toilet paper.
Ooh, this Jell-O recipe is called Ring Around the Tuna.
Gross. Oh my god, that's the name of the episode.
Ring Around the Tuna, everybody. Come over to my house tonight for some Ring Around the Tuna. How's that Ring Around the Tuna taste?
Makes it sound like she's got like ringworm.
I didn't make up this name, okay? Someone else did it.
Hey, let's do Ring Around the Tuna tonight.
Hey everybody, Ring Around the Tuna. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite.
Gross.
Oh my god, it's so good. Tell us what's in Ring Around the Tuna, Mary.
Surprisingly, there's no tuna involved.
Ring Around the Tuna recipe. Okay.
I feel dirty even saying it.
Let's see. Okay.
It's like bologna.
A beautiful jewel-like entree salad for your luncheon or buffet table. One pack lime or lemon lime Jell-O, salt, water, vinegar, onion, cucumber, celery, pimento.
So basically olives, whatever's in your fridge.
And then tuna drained and flaked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. And you just throw it in lime green Jell-O.
Mm. Well, you know, it holds it together.
Yeah. Less calories. It's not like you could just eat it by yourself and make yourself just a nice tuna dinner. Torture yourself by putting it in Jell-O, but whatever, you know.
Reading the methods just reminds me of watching the Great Baking Show, British Baking Show, where it's like the second challenge where they give you very vague descriptions on what to do. One just says, chill until very thick. But anyway, back to Up, Up, and Away.
Anyway, how did we get here? Who remembers?
The real reason
I sure know.
Here. I sure know.
So Jell-O Girl, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh man.
Man. But those were some interesting Jell-O facts.
This is what she does to people. That's fucked up.
But here comes another weird food item. So after they talk about Jell-O Girl, then you see Scott and Dad sees Janet Jackson yelling at the sister again, saying, "You're burning the furniture again." Or no, if you burn the outdoor furniture again or melted furniture again, no more spinach ice cream or broccoli pudding.
She was a cook in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It shows.
And so after they like do that, it cuts back to Nina and Malcolm. And Nina is wanting to do this for reals about helping the planet. She really does want to like change the world into a better place while Malcolm still wants to manipulate the people for money.
Mm-hmm. Her heart's in the right place. She just wants to go about it the wrong way.
She's like Thanos.
Like Greenpeace. Oh, I was going to say Greenpeace, but Thanos.
Want to save the rainforest? No, thanks.
No, thank you.
So one time, three of us were in Fort Collins, and we're kind of just going around downtown, and apparently there's this girl with like a clipboard. And we don't like to talk to strangers or people that like tell us to like sign stuff. But she comes and approaches us as we're walking down the sidewalk. And she's like, "Hey, do you want to sign a petition to save the rainforest?" And we all go, "No, thanks." We just walk away.
It's just a reaction. We don't even put any thought.
You immediately just say, "No, thanks."
We don't want any.
It's like when, what was that, when John gave that guy a thumbs up to sign his petition? Because he had his headphones in. Petition.
Thumbs up. That was like the sign the petition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, do you want to sign my petition? Mm-hmm. Give you a thumbs up.
One time, because they used to ask us, you know, are you registered to vote in Albany County? And I remember one time Zyman was like, "No, I'm not even supposed to be in this country."
Don't tell anyone, please.
But, so, good. So yeah, Nina wants to definitely have people sign their petitions and get rejected. Mm-hmm. So after that, it cuts back to the family and they're having a family dinner. And so the family likes to, this is where I noticed, like, they like to eat and drink a lot of green stuff. Like, they drink green Kool-Aid, they eat, like, spinach, and a lot of green stuff. Like, I don't know why. I don't know what is up with the green. They didn't really explain why green is something that they eat all the time, which is kind of weird.
I think it's just, like, they associate it with healthy foods. So literally everything has to be green.
True, because they're superheroes, so they probably have to eat healthy.
Yes. Yeah. They can't eat anything else ever.
Because even the zucchini bread, zucchini's green. So I was like, So.
Do you think if people come over for dinner, they cook regular food that's not green for everybody?
Well, no, because at the party, one of the guys was like, oh, Janet Jackson makes some great food. And it was talking about like the spinach bites or something like that. Spinach rolls.
But he's a superhero, though. I'm talking about, like, the neighbors came over.
Normal people. Got it.
It's like, yes, we cooked this shrimp jello meal for you.
Here we...
Very normal.
This came from a very exotic place called McDonald's.
It's very local, small chain McDonald's.
Very regional. Mm-hmm.
Very, yes, very high-quality ingredients.
A mom and pop shop. But yeah, so after dinner, parents start clearing off the dishes and stuff, and they're talking, and Scott kind of overhears the parents worrying about him getting the party. He's like, oh, should we cancel the party, because I don't see Scott having any powers coming up or anything. So that kind of brings Scott down, and so what he decides to do, he decides to just fake things. So the next day, he starts to unscrew the hinges off the door, or like very lightly. So when he yanks it off, it looks like he has super strength all of a sudden. So this is where George Jefferson. Not Thomas Jefferson. George Jefferson. Sherman Hemsley.
Yeah.
Comes in with groceries, and he's grandpa. He comes in, and then Scott pulls the door. It's like, oh, hey, grandpa. And he just like swings the door open and just yanks it off and somehow doesn't break anything. And so dad's like, oh, he has powers. And so he's just like, whoa, here he comes. Here's my son becoming the Hulk.
Look at that.
Yeah, big D energy. Here we go. That's his superhero name.
Big D.
Big D. And then, so they're talking about like, oh, we finally got your powers. And grandma was like, just name drop it. She's like, oh, you know, Spider-Man and Mary Jane came over the other night. And I thought it was hilarious because she said Spider-Man instead of like Peter.
Peter.
Yeah. She's just like, you know, Spider-Man came over with Mary Jane.
What if to them, like, he doesn't take off, they don't know he's Peter Parker, it's just like Mary Jane, and then every time they see him, he's just in his superhero
spider
outfit,
suit,
just eating, yeah, and he's just like, thank you so much. It's like, we'll never know who he is.
So George Jefferson complains about Superman, here's another name drop, taking his nickname because, what was it, like something of steel, bird of steel?
Steel Condor.
Or Steel Condor. Yeah.
His superhero name.
Mm-hmm. It was like, I was a steel condor, but some guy from Krypton came down and named himself the Man of Steel, the Bird of Steel. So I can't do that anymore.
It was funny too, because he's like, Clark Kent gets a good publicist and names himself the Man of Steel, and what am I? Also, like when the grandma was talking too, she's like, how do you get webs out of the carpet?
Oh,
like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
Why are there webs in the carpet? Getting too crazy over there. And then
they're swingers.
They are. It's like, they got webs in the carpet, if you know what I mean. but also, Marvel and DC exist in the same universe in this movie.
They do. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And also other comic book properties, because someone else gets name dropped later that's not a part of either it's comic book universe, and I was just like, oh my gosh, they just all exist together.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Most ambitious crossover. Yeah.
This one.
This one right here. Up, up.
They
and
already
away.
Did it. You don't have to have some long movie. You just drop two names and it's like, oh, they exist together.
Yep.
That's it.
They did it.
Mm-hmm. They just all know each other. Yeah. It's just kind of like a fraternity. Mm-hmm. Like they're all superheroes, but it's like, do you want to be a DC bro or a Marvel bro? Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to watch Sky High because I've never seen that movie. Because it kind of reminds me of that.
It's okay. It's okay. Not bad. It's like a fun, I guess, superhero type movie. And cool people are in it. Cool actors and stuff. They still act. Mary Elizabeth Winstead's in it. Mm-hmm. Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Russell's in it. For a second, I was like, Jeff Bridges. No, Kurt Russell.
Oh, yep.
I was like, which one is he? Kurt Bridges. And then Kurt Bridges. I think Linda Carter is in it. She's the principal, I think, of Sky High. The mom is Kelly Preston. Mm. R.I.P.
Well, that was a downer way to bring that conversation.
And then fun stuff happens. And the guy from, I think I was talking with one of my roommates about it. I was like, that guy from that Boy Craft movie. Were you the one talking about that?
Oh, yeah. The
Harry Covenant. Potter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, Harry Potter. You know that Boy Craft?
Adult Harry Potter.
It's like the craft with boys in it. Oh, yes, Harry
this
Potter.
This is starting to sound like fan fiction now, and I don't believe it.
Yeah, the Covenant. The main boy craft witch, warlock, whatever in that movie. He's in Sky High. He plays like the bad boy.
Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. Daniel Radcliffe.
Yep.
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah.
I believe that's
exactly.
You meant to say.
Totally. Boycraft. Wizard, Boycraft. Warlock, witch. Harry Potter. Just watch it. It's totally accurate, everything I'm saying.
Boycraft.
Hagrid's like, you're a witch, wizard, warlock, whatever. You're magical.
What is the difference between a wizard and a warlock?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
I think it's just semantics.
Right. Okay.
It's just, you know, whatever you want to be called. It's, you know.
You identify as either
a warlock. You could be a warlock or a wizard or a witch.
You know what's funny? You're not wrong, Bridget. Mm-hmm. It is literally like using pronouns.
Oh.
Warlock means a male magic user, which wizard means someone usually male or someone who has magic, mystic items, or magical or mystical practices. So yeah, so it's also like a pronoun.
Interesting. Okay, well, very cool. I've always wondered what the difference was.
So if someone comes up, like, are you a wizard or warlock? Like, excuse me, I like to use warlock as...
You're gonna say yes. Are you this or this? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I am. I am a warlock wizard.
All of the above.
But yeah, so cool. Yeah, so ambitious crossover, the best one ever, this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're talking about, like, Superman and their name-dropping stuff. So Scott kind of talks about his powers, and I think he mentions about him practicing. Sister says, like, yeah, he was trying to fly earlier. And Dad's like, what? Trying to fly? And so it's like, let's see you fly. And Sister's like, mm-hmm. Let's see you fly. Yeah,
but you can't.
Her name is Molly. There you go, Molly. And she knows what's up. She knows that he's faking the whole time. She's like, yeah, let's go see you fly. So everyone's all cheering him on. Scott's like, okay, let me go grab my cape. And I thought it was really interesting how they all just stayed in the house while he gets ready to, like, fly. They don't, like, fully all go out and wait for him. They kind of just, like, okay, yeah. We'll see you when you're in the air, and we won't see you like when you actually take off, which I thought was kind of funny. So Scott gets outside. He has a soccer ball, and he throws it while screaming, up, up, and away, like his dad. And he hits the trees with a soccer ball. Mom's like, oh, he hit the trees. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, he hit the trees. And so they go outside, and they kind of look in the air, and they don't see him. And they're like, he's over there. No, he's over there somewhere. So they look in the air, and then Scott goes behind him, sneaks up behind him, and pretends to fall. Be like, oh man, I landed, and that was rough, guys. Woo. And of course, Sister's like, mm-hmm.
Sure, Jan.
Yeah, sure, sisters. Jan. Yeah, and Molly goes, sure, Jan, sure, Scott. And then this is when Grandpa Jefferson also kind of figures out, like, hey, maybe
Grandma Jefferson.
So I think something's up. So then it goes, cuts to the school. Again, Scott, oh no, it doesn't cut to school. It cuts to homework time after they all leave. And Scott boots up his computer homework thing and kind of gets mesmerized because it shows the Earth Protector screen. And his mouth, it opens really big, like, So like kind of does like a thing where like a montage of all the kids doing this exact same face. And then the next day, you notice that all the kids are wearing blue. And so during this time comes to lunch and there's like a kid with like getting ready to throw tinfoil at Scott just to play like, hey, let's play catch with a tinfoil ball. Throws it and Adam catches it. And that's when you figure out why tinfoil is very bad to them, because his hand gets all like glowing green and stuff. And he's just like, eh, it hurts. So like Bridget said, it's like the kryptonite for them. How it says like it could kill them. It like what realigns their like molecular structure or something, something sciency to make it sound legit. And so, let's see. I said Malcolm and Nina got.
What? Oh, is it the building? The fire?
That,
or wait.
No, that was before.
No. Oh.
Malcolm and Nina got. Malcolm wants to do the mind control for money.
Oh.
What happened?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember now. I'm trying to remember what happened about... I think... No? I don't know. All right, whatever. Anyway...
Anyways, Nina's in a burning building.
Not yet.
Oh, wait, because...
I think...
Because the party happens, and then the building happens. Yeah. The fire happens. Oh,
well, what happened? Malcolm and Nina got... Whatever. I can't remember.
What do you mean they got...
I don't know. Did they get...
They got...
They kind of got into a little bit of an
argument. Didn't they get caught? Didn't they get caught in the act? I think that was the reason.
Caught in the act of...
What they get caught?
Because then I said Malcolm wants to do the mind control for money. Oh well. Anyway,
Something happens.
Yeah, something they happens between about something. Yeah,
they have a disagreement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to Dad wants to take flying practice with Scott just to like show off the next day, and so Dad lifts Scott up into the air, and Scott's just like freaking out.
Oh, maybe this happens later. Did they got because Scott recognizes her? Oh, wait, no.
No, that's later. That's also later. Damn, yeah.
We don't know what happened.
It all blurs together.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of jumping in this movie, I realize, too, as I'm reading these notes. But yeah, Dad takes some flying practice. He's like, yeah, since we need practice to show it off on your party. So Dad picks up Scott. And so they're flying, and Scott's like, oh, I think I really am flying. And Dad's like, all right, here you go. He does kind of like a baby mama as a baby bird. Kind of just like lets him go. He starts falling. Yeah. And then Dad starts to figure out, I was like, oh, maybe he can't fly. Because he acted like he never flew before. So that happens, and they go to soccer practice. And then... Dad talks to Mom's like, hey, Scott can't fly. He says he can, but apparently he can't. So then cuts to the next day, his actual birthday party, superhero party. And so they have all these like weird superheroes. I was trying to figure out who, like, what powers they might have. There's like semi-translucent man and semi-translucent woman. There's a woman with a like Febreze clip on her like chest. There was Expando
smells
Man.
Smells good, lady.
Yeah, smells good, lady. And Expando
she
Man.
She saves you in like a fart
situation. Right. And then they have Jello Girl probably over there making some Jello.
There's just like somebody with really big ears.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
There's also somebody, maybe it was a translucent man, but they have a big A on the front of their outfit, and it looks like the Amazon A. I was like, are you a mascot for Amazon? Is this like when Amazon started?
It's Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Before he hit it big is what he did.
So they have this party, and then they have the initiation with Scott and his parents. And he's like, all right, Scott, So take this oath and repeat after me to be one of the members. And Scott's like, Dad, I gotta tell you something. And then it's like, what? Just do the oath. What's wrong with you, basically? And he says, like, fine, I agree. And it's like, all right, here's your name, Warrior Eagle. And everyone, like, claps and go, woo, yay! As it's happening, Malcolm blows up Nina in a warehouse.
Yeah. Because he was like, this is how we'll, right? Because he's like, we'll have to figure out, like, who the superheroes are to control them.
Yeah.
So it's like, we'll lure them here. And then it's like, you'll be the bait, and then we'll go watch over here. And then he's, like, walking to the van with his henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, if she blows up, she blows up.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
If he dies.
Essentially is what happens.
He dies. Yeah. Pulls a Dolph. Dolph Lundgren.
Ralph. His brother, Ralph. Dolph and his brother, Ralph.
Yeah. He pulls that. And then, so everyone's buzzer starts beeping and be like, oh, there's like something going on. And so people were just saying, hey, it's Scott's initiation day. He should try to save someone for the first time. And mom's like, I don't know. Like, he's still a little too young and he's just getting started.
Yeah, whose idea was that?
But Dad's like,
for real.
Right? Yeah.
Don't you guys do training or something?
Yeah, don't
just
you?
Like, no, just go do it.
So he's like, okay. And so it's like, okay, we got to watch you fly. And so he's like, all right. Once again, they're all in the house again, not watching him actually take off. So he does the whole soccer ball and goes up, up, and away. He ends up taking his bike and starts biking his way over while George Jefferson's like, hey, I'll help you since I know that you can't fly. So I'll meet you there. I'll be there real fast.
Also, how does Scott know where the building is? Like, they never say right. where the building is.
Yeah.
So does he just go bike around town until he finds a burning building? Or it's like, oh, yes, I know where this is. Like, they told me. They were like, oh, this is the address that came through on my beeper. You need to go here. Figure it out. I'm sure you know exactly where it is.
Okay.
If someone's like, I don't know. I don't know where everything is in this town. So if someone's like, go here, I'd be like, where the hell is that?
I
need Google Maps.
Well, and all he said was
now
the building.
I remember. Yeah, it's in the building. Okay, I had to go back to that clip of why I said Malcolm Nina got. It's because the family does a little news reporter broadcasting. He's like, hey, we're finding the people to figure this out. Like, we're coming for you. Get ready. And that's when Nina and Malcolm got. Wow. Because they're like, they're producing this program to control people's minds, and we're going to have an antivirus software that's going to help you guys out. So, okay. So that's what I mean, Malcolm and Nina got. So fast forward, we go back to where Scott go ahead and rides his bike using not Google Maps, but what was that time that we had to use to get directions or something?
MapQuest?
Yeah, MapQuest.
He went to MapQuest. He went to the public library, put 10 cents into the printer, MapQuested it, and then printed off the directions.
Using dial-up, so it took him like 20 minutes to print it out.
And then by the time he got done, Nita had died tragically.
Yeah, seriously. You know, she didn't even try to help herself either, okay?
No, she didn't. She just coughing the whole time. She's just walking around.
Also, at the party before Scott is like, yeah, I'll go rescue her. Everybody's just like standing around. They're just waiting for him. And I was like, there's literally a building on fire. And they're just like, you go do it. Go do it. It's like they're peer pressuring him into doing it. It's like, it's been like 10 minutes.
Do it.
Announced. She's probably dead already because you guys are taking so long to figure this out.
We're just trying to just like a fraternity to like, freshman.
Freshman,
take out the trash.
You see some superhero guy doing a keg stand in the backyard.
With some like green juice.
Green juice, yep.
But yeah, so Scott does that and he finds an entrance where Nina clearly couldn't see, even though there was like light shining down where the entrance was, where she could have just climbed out. But Scott comes in and just laughed because Nina's like, oh, we can fly out of here. And Scott's like, you can fly? That's great. And like, just made me laugh.
No, stupid. I met you. Yeah. The guy in the superhero costume. Oh, also, too, like, when he goes to rescue her, he like rolls up on his bike. There's the fire department and a whole crowd of people. He just tries to run in, and then his family sees him on the news, right? Because he's just like running around in circles in the front of the building trying to get in, and this fireman is trying to catch him, like, hey kid, don't go in there, stop. And then there's just two police officers on the side just watching this happen, like, I'm not gonna help you, you handle this. Like,
you got this. Yeah,
it's like, I'm just kind of busy, I can't leave this one spot. You handle it, even though it's not your job.
Yeah. Oh, and I noticed that, like, throughout this whole thing, they keep playing this weird, like, when, like, a lesson is learned or, like, something sad happens, they play this really cheesy, like, sad music that kind of reminds me of, like, sitcoms that you hear, like, little, like, keyboard sounds, like, little sad noises, like, da-da-da-da.
Like a soap opera. Mm-hmm.
And so Scott goes and ball saves Grandpa Jefferson's like, hey, we gotta go. I'm gonna go. And just so you know, your son actually doesn't have powers, so I'm gonna
so
go.
Bye.
So that was so bye. So yeah, that was before he actually went to go fly. And so Nina gets saved by they're climbing out of the building using a fire hose, and the fire hose is being attached to the wall on the inside of the building, and they climb down, not even that high up, and they start freaking out like they're gonna die from, like, what, a second story window, basically, it seemed like. And so it breaks off, they fall, and then that's when Daddy comes in and saves them, and swoops in to save them. Oh, wait, and then Scott actually drops his mask. That's the important part. Yeah, his mask comes off. He's like, oh no, my mask. And so after they get saved, Nina goes back to Malcolm like an abusive ex-boyfriend.
Well, I think that's kind of it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, and I had a question with this. If you had like an Earth Protector software, what would you do to people? What would you like hypnotize them to do?
To protect the Earth?
No, like it just like a computer program to just hypnotize people. You could be like,
just do whatever you want.
Yeah, Bridget would be like, I want you to send nudes.
Everybody on Earth,
please send me nudes. I would probably invent a software that filters out the nudes for you.
Don't send nudes.
Don't send nudes.
So what you would hypnotize people, she'd be like, don't do it.
Mm-mm. Don't send
please
nudes.
Please don't do this.
Don't send the nudes.
Because Mary would pop, because Mary would be like, send nudes to Bridget. And then Bridget would be like, don't send nudes to Bridget.
Yeah, it's me. I'd be like, program it, send the nudes to Bridget. Great.
But what would you do, Bridget? You would do what?
I would make naps socially acceptable. In the workplace.
Everyone nap.
Yeah. Just the whole world sleep.
You sleep now.
That'd be cool. Just make it be like, yes, naps are acceptable. You will let me nap whenever I want to nap.
I would make everybody be nice to animals. Like, don't be a dick.
So it's kind of like, in a way, like, would you use it like Nina or Malcolm? Like, would you use it for good or like for selfish reasons?
I would say maybe crowd control, be like, hey, I kind of want to go to this concert, but I don't want to see a lot of people there. So I'd be like, don't go to this concert except for the people that are performing. I just want a private concert. Like Florence. Imagine having
cool. That would be really cool.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. Don't buy the tickets. And then Florence is like, why didn't anybody come to my show?
No.
Nobody likes me.
Buy the tickets, but don't show up. So it'll still pay her. It'll pay her, but they don't show up. So you could do that.
Oh. And then she's like, what happened? Some giant accident?
There was a freak multi-bus accident.
Everybody was on buses. There were 1,000 buses coming, and they all had engine trouble. Mm-hmm. Except I wasn't on the bus.
Because
I took an Uber. So that's why I'm here.
Imagine how nice it would be to go to Red Rocks. Nice. And getting,
be by yourself.
Yeah, and getting out.
Oh, that would be really
like,
nice.
That'd be way nice.
That's the thing I hate about Red Rocks is, the concert venue is a beautiful place, but after you're done, it's just chaotic.
Yeah, because it's like one way in, one way out.
It's like a shit show.
you will wait two hours.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
You will like
Hotel Red Rocks.
Oh man.
So what would you do, Mary? What would your thing be?
I feel like I would want to use it for good. I think the concert one is a good idea. I would be selfish. I'd be like, you all want to give me free food all the time when you see me. This is free. I don't have to pay for it. Also, recycle, because it's good for the environment.
I just imagine the free foods. Every time you walk somewhere, just people just shoving food in your mouth.
I have to give that girl free food now. Yeah. It's just this weird response. Everybody just swarms me with
Mary's like a bully. Like, she walks in and everybody just gives her food.
Give me your lunch. I don't know if I would necessarily hypnotize. I don't know. I feel like if I had the power to do it, I would be like a Nina. Like, you know, recycle. Don't, you know, give your money to charity. Tax the rich.
I forgot what I would do. I think it would be like a selfish reason, but I can't remember now. But it was like concert thing would be cool, but can't remember now.
I would probably like hypnotize people to be like, don't, when you're driving on the interstate and stuff, don't just like stay in the left hand lane. Okay, left hand lanes for passing only. Okay, you can't just drive there. Because I have to pass. You can't pass on the right. That's dangerous. Okay. You need to move over. So I'd be like, yes, never do that. Obey traffic laws for my convenience. Please use your turn
for
signal.
My convenience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you guys have any ideas, put it in the comments or message us or whatever you do.
Fax us.
So, beep us.
Beep us. Beep, beep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so after this happens with Nina going back to Malcolm, the school passes out another disc, where it basically tells all the kiddos to steal their parents' money. They all watch it, and then they all take the money. There's like a montage of them taking money. And so the parents are like, hey, I'm missing some money. Did you take some money from my wallet? And then Adam, the older brother, was like, hey, I'm missing a $20 bill. Did you give it to the paper boy? And so they're trying to figure it out, and turns out the sister also has x-ray vision, and she kind of snoops into Scott's backpack. It's like, oh, that bitch did it. And so, and like, Scott, did you?
You did this.
Scott's like, everyone's like, Scott, did you take the money? He's like, no, I didn't.
Don't worry about it.
It's in your backpack. And yeah, don't worry about it. Did you get all that money? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. I'm not saying you took the money, but I'm saying you took the money.
So they're all like questioning him. He's like, I don't remember taking your money and putting it in the backpack. So I don't know how it happened. So there goes to this whole thing where Scott's like, they're like, Scott, okay, we understand that you're angry about not getting superpowers and faking it, but now you're taking our money? It's like, what's wrong with you? And so the mom's like, well, no soccer for like a month or something. And Scott's like, rude. And
they're
so
like, suck anyway.
Scott
what's
goes,
matter?
Yeah. So Scott goes to school and he doesn't have the money, but you notice that all the other kids start handing the money to the goon. He's like, oh, thanks for your donation. And so as we're going the hallways, the teacher, for some reason, it's always the same teacher for Scott, but this teacher was like, hey, you've been randomly picked, wink, wink, hint, hint, to test out this new thing for the computer. And they find out because Malcolm and Nina did this, they found the mask that Scott lost. And somehow they matched the mask to the person's face, which was really weird, which I thought. They did like a full scan where they just basically put like a costume mask on every single student through this computer database, like, yeah, that's the guy. And so they're like, it's Scott, so he's related to the other guys. So, yes.
Also, like, because you brought up the mask, because Scott left it at the burning building, right?
Yeah.
When Scott's dad saves them, his dad makes him ride home on his bike in his superhero outfit. It's like, do you not think anybody could follow this kid to your house wearing this full like cape and everything like that, or no one would notice this? Because he's just like, get your bike and ride home. And he's just like, bye. Because he says it. So I just like, yeah, he rides his bike home crying. I just thought that was weird. I was just like, why wouldn't you just like pick him up? I don't know. That's weird. If you to protect your identity.
Yeah, that is stupid.
Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
is a little weird, but I just thought I'd bring that up.
But yeah, so Scott gets poked. Wow. Scott got chosen randomly, quote unquote, and he sits down in front of the computer and gets more brainwashed talking. Like, I can't remember now. What was the...
It was...
What did the program tell him to do?
NSYNC was the hit number one new band. Go buy their CD.
Something about his
go parents? Watch Spice World.
Something about like outing his parents or something.
Your and parents so, don't it was love like, you.
Yeah, like what's their? I think it was like what's their weaknesses? Okay. Goss.
Yeah. Spill the tea. It was a spill the tea program. And so he gets out, and his friend is like, "Hey, where have you been?" It's like, "Oh, I was tested for this program. It's only took a few minutes." But his friend's like, "No, you were out for like 2 hours." And Scott's like, "What?" And he looks at the clock and he's like, "Oh, I was." And so it turns out that Malcolm wants to enslave his family, which I thought was really awkward. It's like, you want to enslave his family?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, phrasing.
A little weird. Yeah. Let's not do that.
Yeah. Let's not do that, please. So, yeah, because like, I want to enslave your family, I want them to be mine.
Well, this sounds familiar.
Okay, let's not. Hold up, John Adams. So Scott goes back to class, and they get handed another CD, and the teacher was like, "Everyone, take this home as homework. You have to do it with your parents. But Scott, hey, you get a special CD that has like a red logo of it." So he picks it up, and he bumps into Amy, and then they knock each other's CDs out of their hands, and it turns out that they switched CDs accidentally. And so they go home, and Scott's like, "Okay, check this out. I'm not lying that this is what the program's doing." So he boots up the computer, and the parents get ready and tells Adams, like, "Hey, if anything funky happens, zap the computer." So they start it up, and it's actually like the actual homework CD where it shows like a weird video of a snake saying, "Hey, be green, be eco-friendly." And so the parents are like, "Okay, Scott, you're lying once again about what's going on right now." And then it turns out, like I said, that they switched CDs. So Amy's mom checks out the computer and kind of watches it. And then she ends up getting Scott's CD and gets brainwashed to go rob a bank and do bad things. And I thought this was hilarious because the next scene shows her going to the bank and her hair's all like made up and she has like a green like blazer on and she pretends she has like a gun in her purse. She's like, "Give me all your money." Because the directions were dress up in your nicest gear or dress up in your gear or something, right? And rob a bank. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
My gear.
Excuse me. So the mom literally dresses up like in a weird like soccer mom gear. It's like, "Give me your money." And so, and then she is instructed to go meet them at the warehouse that they're at. So Scott calls George Jefferson and so it's like, hey, Grandpa, I need you to help me out. There's some stuff going on. And Grandma says, "Why don't you call the Fantastic Four or Superman?" And Grandpa's like, "Oh, no, hell no, we're not calling Superman. I got this." So he rips off his clothes and shows, like, his costume. And this is where he gets his geriatric body up in the air. He tries to just go up, up, and away just right there, but he had to do a running start. And this kind of has like a little bit of him being like the slowest person ever of a superhero, because when he flies, you see that the semi trucks and cars on the highway are faster than him. And so then next scene shows that Amy's mom comes into the warehouse like, "Hey, I'm here. I got the money." And this is when Scott's family comes in and follows her too. And they see a mask in the distance in the warehouse and notice that it is Scott's mask. And they're like, "Oh, a lure. Okay, whatever." And it turns out they get surrounded by aluminum foil cage. How much money? How much money do you think they spent on making that
aluminum foil cage?
Yeah, like did they go to like Costco or Sam's Club and bought like the giant bulk?
Or maybe they went to the dollar store like, and they're bought like, "All right, cheap foil that tears when you look at it."
They're like, "All right, guys, we have like 2 days to make a giant cage out of aluminum foil. So get to it." They get captured by the aluminum foil. And then they get the computer set in front of them. And then Malcolm's like, "All right, you're going to be my slaves after like, what, 15 minutes of you guys staring into the screen.
Real quick, too, I just thought of something else because I just looked at the 5 notes that I made on my notebook for this movie. but, like, when Amy's mom comes in, is like, hey, guys, it's me. Malcolm, like, for a brief second, like, he has this, like, look on his face and he goes, like, I think we'll have to take another plan. And I thought he was going to be like, we're going to have to kill him. Because I think he tells Nina, he's like, I'll take care of it. And then she goes off and he's like, all right, we have to do something else. This is what we're going to do. I was like, he's going to murder her. Like, it really seemed like he was going to say something like that.
It also reminds me, the mom reminds me of Jonah Hill from This Is the End going, bang, bang.
Bang, 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 I got a gun. Oh, this old thing, bang, bang. That's exactly, yeah, the mom is Jonah Hill. Bang. Give me your money, bang, bang, or else. Yeah, so I just thought of that real quick. I was just like, we have to take care of this. She has to die. but she doesn't die, don't worry.
She just gets tied up. Mm-hmm. And so they learn about, Scott learns about this. He's like, whoa, that's weird. Scott, Amy's mom just robbed a bank. It's really weird. So Scott goes up to Amy. He's like, hey, just so you know, I think that was for me because we ran into each other when we switched cities. So let me tell you something. Promise you won't tell anyone, but my parents are superheroes. And she's like, okay, I'll go with you and save my mom. Like, she was, like, very casual about it. Like, she's like, sure, let's go. She was, like, no doubt in her mind, which I thought was kind of funny. And so Scott, Amy, and Nathan? What's his name? Let me go look. Randy.
Mark.
Randy.
Randy.
Yeah. So Randy, Amy, and Scott goes and finds the warehouse magically. Again, they just map quested it.
Yep.
To go find the warehouse. They just typed in warehouse. And then, like, all right, let's go there. And so they ride their bike over there. And Scott and the friends act like police. Like, hey, open up. There's still police. And they start dancing on packing bubble stuff to sound like gunshots. And so they're like, oh, it's the police. And they start freaking out. And then they soon realize it's Scott and kids. And then this is where they kind of feels like they do Home Alone stuff where they kind of booby trap the warehouse to the baddies. And so after they do that, they get some henchmen knocked away from, like, bubble wrap and whatnot. Nina figures out, like, hey, Malcolm actually wants to do this for money and not for, like, you know, my sake. So she's like, okay, I'm going to actually help Scott. So she plays it off and be like, hey, I'm going to capture you, Scott. And she wraps tinfoil around Scott, which they don't know that he doesn't have any power. So Scott goes, oh, no, my powers, they're draining. I'm so weak right now. I can't do anything. And so they bring in Scott. And then Nina tries to do a whole, like, okay, yeah, so I'm a bad girl now. I'm a naughty girl. So I'm going to try to.
The eco-friendly house that Fall Hardy is going to be a sexy house.
She's like, I'm naughty. I'm going to help you. And then she tries to hack in the system or by switching the DVDs. And which was really stupid because Malcolm's like, what are you doing? Why are you switching?
She doesn't, like, inform you of them. She's just like, oh, what happened? This DVD suddenly is in the tray. Yeah, weird.
That's weird. It got switched all of a sudden. Weird, huh? Malcolm's like, I just saw you switch your CDs. And she's like, all right.
Me and all 5 people in this room saw you do that. Yeah.
She's like, no, you didn't.
Saw what?
It's like, yeah, we did.
See what?
So that's how she got found out that she was not actually a naughty girl.
But she got caught.
I thought that was just so funny how she just obviously just like, I'm just going to switch the CD. No one's going to know. As Malcolm and everyone else just like watches her do that. But yeah, so Malcolm's like, okay, get her got. She's done. And so there's like a few seconds left. And Scott's like, you can't, you know, enslave my parents because that's racist.
And morally, so, morally wrong in general.
Yeah, and morally wrong. And so Amy's like, hey, we still have the soccer bag, so I'm going to give you the soccer ball. So this is where Scott's goof actually becomes the best thing to save the world. So Scott starts like doing his soccer skills, and he ends up actually making the goal because he shot it way off course, but he knew that he was going to do it again. So he shot it through and magically knocks one of the computers, and it saves his parents. Then Dad kind of goes up. He was like, this is the whole theme of the whole movie, is that you don't need to have superpowers to be a superhero. And that's what he told Scott. And so
you just have to have superpowers, or you just have to be rich.
Yeah.
So,
and we're not the other one. So tough luck, but I love you.
You're adopted now. But so yeah, they arrest all the baddies, and Nina's like, you know what? I'm gonna be a hipster. I'm gonna find another way to save the environment. So she ends up thinking about it, and it's like, yeah, she's gonna be a hipster. And so that's when Amy finally confesses her undying love to Scott. They kind of flirt around. They're like, oh, I didn't know you liked me. I thought I only liked you. And she's like, oh, well, I didn't know you liked me because I liked you. And they kind of do this whole thing. And then Adam comes over and zaps Amy. So she forgets the past, 2 hours, I think. And she zaps everyone else so they would forget what happened. And then Randy's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, don't zap me because I was helping everyone. I was the best person here. So you don't need to zap me. I'm not going to tell anyone. So Adam's like, okay, I won't zap you. So Scott's best friend becomes a person to talk to about his superpowers and stuff like that. And so this is when, as they're getting out, this is when George Jefferson finally makes it to the warehouse. He like breaks in. He's like, oh, I'm here to save the day. And Janet Jackson says, no, got it. Like, and so, yeah, so he comes in to try to save the day, but he's a little too late. And so after that, they kind of have like a sitcom like laugh. Ha 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 ha. And then the next day, Randy kind of talks to Scott. It's like, hey, every superhero needs like a sidekick, right? So like, we should think of names or something like that. And this is when Amy comes by in her bike. And they're just like, oh, hey, Scott. Hey, Amy. Oh, wait, no. Was that before or after when the captain was announced?
Before.
Before, yeah. So they're talking to each other, and like Amy, obviously, she doesn't remember about confessing her undying love to Scott. So Scott's just like, hey, girl, what's up? What'd that mouse do? And she kind of smirks. Like, you could tell that they're kind of like definitely are into each other, but then she just like smiles and she's like, whatever, just don't mess up at the game. So after that, they go to the game, and then they decide who the captain is. So the coach does this weird thing where he, like, gets a vote instead of, like, for skill, so whatever. But, so he's like, all right, Amy, who are you picking? And she's like, Scott. And Scott's like, what? And the coach is like, are you sure? She's like, did I stutter? And then Scott's like, okay, I pick Amy. And then Amy's like, what? And Scott's like, did I stutter? And so the coach finally says, like, okay, I guess you both are team captains because it's a tie. Because apparently he doesn't have a vote. Apparently the coach doesn't have a vote at all. So
what if instead of like having them be co-captains, he's like, well, neither of you get to be captain, and then he just picks somebody else.
See you guys.
Or he does. He's like, I'm the captain now. And yeah, so that's what happens. And then happy ending. Turns out Scott doesn't have any powers.
No.
The end.
Mm-hmm. He's a normal person.
He's adopted.
Oh yeah, and then at the end too, they name drop the Green Hornet.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right? Oh, that's when the sidekick thing came up. He's like, you know, the Green Hornet had a really cool sidekick. So.
And then yeah, Scott's like, he was at my birthday party, mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, who'd you name drop? Green Hornet, yeah. Fantastic Four, Superman,
Spider-Man.
They all hang out. They all know each other. Mm-hmm. It's like the super duper Justice League Avengers X-Men League.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so that was the movie. Let's see here. I gave it about, I liked it, so I gave it about 7 tinfoils out of 10.
Yeah.
It was good.
I would agree with that. I would give it 7 spinach ice creams out of 10.
I would also, I liked it, but I would give it 6.5 Jell-O atrocities. Jell-O dinner atrocities out of 10. Jell-O dinner atrocities. It's pretty good. It's cool, you know.
Why the half? Why the 6.5 having, and not 7? What turns you off, Tad?
I thought it was, I don't know. I didn't like, there wasn't enough fastball. No, I'm just kidding. There was no fastball in this movie, so I didn't like it. I thought like the eco type of like environment, but like the villain is like this kind of whiny rich guy. It's kind of dumb. I don't know. I wish there was like more of like a villain kind of way, instead of just like, I'm gonna brainwash all these kids into buying the next Backstreet Boys CD. I don't know. I kind of wish it was more like there was a Thanos, but not really. That'd be too crazy for a Disney movie.
Half of the population has to die.
A Disney Channel original movie. Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of what I was thinking. And it was, I don't know. It was kind of short compared to the other ones.
It was said it was like an hour and 17 minutes.
I wish
minutes.
They would have maybe, I was like, I feel like the other movies were a little bit longer. There's more like plot. I don't know. See, how long was Horse Sense? Let's see.
Too long.
Too long.
Not long enough. Not enough of Joey McIntyre. Not McIntyre. I don't know.
Joey McIntyre.
Lawrence.
So this movie, yeah, was only, it says it was, the running time is 78 minutes. Horse Sense was 92 minutes. Let's see. Just felt like they could have put a little bit more in there. Mm-hmm. Especially for like a superhero movie, it's like, I want to know more about like family dynamics, you know, with all this superhero stuff. I want more George Jefferson. I want more smart ass little
more
sister.
Thomas Jefferson.
More Thomas Jefferson. It wasn't bad or anything. I just thought it was like maybe a little bit short. They could have just like beefed it up a little bit, made the ending, maybe like the ending fight more of like exciting, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't bad. It's like, I enjoyed it. It's definitely one of the better ones, kind of. That, whoa. Mm-hmm. There was a noise.
I heard it.
I don't know if you guys heard that noise, but.
Mm-mm. What was that?
But yeah, I liked it. It was like, I think it's like the middle, like kind of like a middle of the pack movie for me. Like there's definitely like movies I didn't enjoy as much. Like Genius, yeah. Can of Worms, you know. Mm-hmm. Bridget just is gonna throw up just me mentioning Can of Worms. But I think it's like a solid, like a 6.5-7 type of movie.
Okay.
It's pretty solid. This one could have done with a sequel. I think of like the Disney Channel movies that they could have done sequels with. This one could have been a good sequel movie, but they gave one to Horse
Sense
for some reason.
That's a good point.
Like they could have done it like the sequels, like Scott's like in high school and doing like the superhero thing, and now his sister is doing superhero stuff.
Maybe,
and it's like more of that
down in here, or closer down and closer. Because
up and away, down and closer.
Because it's like he's down to earth because he's a human. So
yes, yeah, it could be him like doing the Batman thing, like the superhero Batman thing. He just like shows up. Like on his bike still, and is with the rest of his family. He's like fighting crime, and he's like, "Guys, I'm here. I just map quested it. It's fine." But yeah, it could have been a fun thing to see.
Yeah,
more,
it is interesting that Horse Sense got one. Like, I felt like that ending could have just stayed at that ending. Like, I don't feel like we needed a follow up.
I never watched Jumping Ship, so I'll be interested to watch it.
It's honestly cheesier than Horse Sense, but.
It's essentially like the Michael from the first film, like gets a job as a lawyer, and then he like takes a vacation with Tommy to, I think Australia, I think it was, and then like on a like luxury yacht, and then they get into trouble with like pirates over like they're like, I'm gonna kidnap this rich guy, give me money,
Matthew Lawrence, like, fine, I'm gonna save you guys.
I was like, is this necessary? Yeah. I don't think so, but
I would agree.
But it was good. It was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And let's see. The next movie we're skipping because we're going to save it for what February, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Color of Friendship. Not The Color Purple.
No,
I think Will believes.
Yeah, a bit steep. Heavy for Disney movie.
For
yeah.
Disney movie.
For Disney Channel.
So it'd be what? Alley Cat Strikes.
Yeah, which I actually really like. Mm-hmm. I think more than this movie. I don't know why I like it so much, but little Kaylee Cuoco's in it.
Bless you.
Kaylee Cuoco, the actress. Bless you. You sick? Got the sniffles? I don't know. Maybe just because I really like bowling.
Yeah, we know.
Bowling's just so fun. But that's our next one, technically. But I don't know if we want to segue into festive Christmas-themed movies.
Yeah.
For a bit.
Maybe. Yeah. I kind of do want to do one Hallmark movie just for fun, mm-hmm. Mary. And I know mm-hmm. you're going to hate it. And it's fun. You don't even have to watch the movie. I'll explain it to you.
Yeah. So everybody, thanks for listening to us. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming back. Tell your friends, tell your family, send somebody, you know, if somebody sells a beeper, to send them like a page, like let them know about us. We'd appreciate it. And then otherwise we'll tune in next time.
No, stupid.